All right, Gloria. Gloria, where are you from originally? Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Lancaster at AV Hospital.
And tell me about your family. You had both your parents growing up?
My birth mom abandoned me, and she was on drugs. When I was an infant, she let anything happen to me, like they did, you know, finger me and all that. When I was a baby, she was just sitting there just, you know, watching to get the drugs because she was, you know, desperate for it or whatever. And then I don't know how long it was going. And so she, you know, keep, you know, always doing it to get the drugs or whatever.
So basically selling you out.
Yeah, basically, you know, letting things happen to me. And I guess somebody found out, so they took me from her. So I was in a lot of different foster homes, getting beat, shared with heroin, left for dead, and, like, you know, traumatized or whatever. Then my birth mom found out that she was pregnant with twins, with my sister and her twin brother, and she was still doing drugs. And she was in a garage, and she gave birth to them, tried to toss them like they was trash. And she put them in a trash bag, tied them up, and tried, you know, toss them in the trash can and stuff. The neighbors saw, so they called 911. She got arrested, so she's doing life. And I don't know her first name or none of that. I don't know nothing about her. I don't know nothing about my father. But my baby brother didn't survive, but she did. Like, she's 14 now, you know. She don't know. She's, like, you know, confused and stuff. And, you know, and I didn't even know until my adopted mom told me. We didn't even know she was our adopted mom until she told us when I was, like, probably, like, 7 years old. And she was, like, you know, a little younger. And we thought she was our birth mom. We feel bad, sad, depressed. Like, we was wondering, like, who was our birth mom, what she looked like, where we came from. She told us in the snap. She told her that she was born in the garage. I was born in AV hospital and stuff. And then we was, like, you know, torn. But at the same time, you know, we got to, you know, suck it up or whatever. And I was 14 or whatever. My goddad passed away before my 15th birthday. It was summertime or whatever. I didn't know what to do. I started thinking negative about myself. He was the only person I could open up to, go to, and trust him. A couple days later, I found out my auntie passed away. A couple days later, my cousin passed away. Like, three deaths at once in different months and year and stuff. And I thought I can't do it no more. So I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. Got used to weed and alcohol. I started drinking. Thought it was cool, so ran away from home, been on the street, going back and forth. And I do whatever to, you know, to fit in, because I didn't know how to fit in. I was looking for love in the wrong places. And trusting guys, got set up, got raped, gun pulled to my head twice, forced me to, you know, do stuff with guys to make money or sell drugs. If I don't do it, they're going to end my life or end my family life. And I didn't want that. So I started doing whatever I got to do to order to keep my family alive and keep myself alive. And so I started selling drugs, started stealing from stores, selling baby clothes, shoes, and all that. And then got caught up with my ex and for a burglary that I didn't do. So I went up, got locked up at 16, been in there for like a month, got out on, supposed to be on house arrest, but I didn't get out on house arrest. I went home. Me and my mom get in an argument. She was accusing me of stealing her cigarette, accusing me of not stealing her stuff out her room or out the cabinet without asking. And every time my little sister do something, she blame it on me. And I started feeling some type of way. Started like, oh, nobody care about me, nobody love me. So I started splitting my wrist, tried to overdose 3 times. Didn't work. I was like, fuck it, it's whatever. And, you know, just, you know, running in the street, fighting left or right. And I didn't like that, and I regret it and stuff, but it's like, it's really hard. Now I start writing poetries, you know, telling my story. It's kind of hard to tell my story because sometimes when I talk about it, I start crying a little bit, kind of hurt, but sometimes I gotta suck it up, you know, to let other people to know that they're not alone. Because at first I thought I was by myself. I thought I was alone. I didn't know anybody had anything in common. You know, I thought nobody believed me, nobody trusts me, nobody cared, none of that. But I do have somebody do care. It's like I've been pushing everybody that care about me and love me and bring the negative around me and push away the positive. And I realized it in October 11, 2018, I got introduced to Chris. I was depressed. I was trying to end my life that day, but someone was like, don't do that. Just smoke this, have fun. So he was controlling me every time. You know, he had me smoke it. He started ripping my clothes off, started, you know, doing stuff that I didn't improve. He get on top of me, do whatever. He controlled me. I can't leave out his side. He get mad when I'm talking to another guy. And I told him I'm not his female, and he's claiming me. And I finally tried to get away October 30th, and that day I tried to overdose. That day I almost died. If I never got rushed to hospital, I could have died that day. And my adopted mom found out. She came out here, came all the way to Lancaster from Victorville to get me, talk to me, telling me, like, why are you doing these drugs? I don't understand why you can't talk to me. You could come and tell me anything. But that's the thing. I'm kind of scared to tell her stuff because I know how she get. She react over little things. She get mad. She cuts me out. She bring up the past. She's always saying, oh, you ain't going to be shit. You don't be like your birth mom doing drugs on these streets or being in prison. You keep it up. You need to, like, you know, fix your life around. You have siblings. Your sister is looking up to you. And then when she said that, I start breaking down like, fuck. Like, I don't want my sister to go through the things that I've been through. I don't want no kids go through the things that I've been through, because it's not right at all. Because the things that I've been through and she's been through, it's not our fault. It's our parent's fault, you know? But at the same time, it's like, I forgive them, not for what they did, but to order to forgive, to move on, not try to hold against them, because we don't know what made them to do that. Because they probably was going through something. They didn't know how to cope it. The only way they cope is doing drugs. And drugs don't get you nowhere at all. So that's how I feel and hurt and all that.
So today you're living where?
In a tent.
On Skid Row?
In a Skid Row, yeah.
And using crystal meth?
Doing crystal meth.
What do you do for money now?
I panhandle, or only if I can't do what I need to do, I probably tell my body only like once or twice. That's it. Yeah. That I know of. And I'm scared to do that again.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah.
And do you have any family or friends you can go to? Or?
I mean, my family, they kind of talk to me, but they barely talk to me now because of my adopted mom. Because wherever she find out what I do and the drugs that I do, they don't. My family don't mess with me because the drugs I'm doing, and they want the best for me, but they don't want me around them when I'm on drugs or and stuff. They saying if I could get myself clean, get the help I need to order to come back around the family.
What do you think about your, what was the biggest factor in your childhood that kind of set you on this path, you think?
That
the
made
me... Molestation or the...
The whole station.
Your mom not being around, or dad, or
the whole station, because I feel like a part of me is missing, but I can't ask nobody about that but myself and my birth mom, because ever since that day what she did to me and my siblings, I've been lost, unsure, don't know what's going on. I want answers, but I don't know how I'm gonna get it though. From her. Don't know if she's still alive or not. I'm scared to look for her, scared to know who she really is. And I'm scared to be running up like her. I know I can do better and smarter than that and do anything I can put my mind to.
And you're 21?
I'm only 18.
Oh, you're 18. And you have a boyfriend?
Yes, I do.
And he's good to you, or How is that relationship?
Our relationship is really good. We get in an argument here and there, you know, little ups and downs. But, you know, he always treats me right. He makes sure I'm safe, you know. Nothing harm me or none of that. He's the only guy that I ever trust that I could talk to. Me and him been best friends for 2 years. And I don't know, we finally found out we liked each other and then we got together.
Where would you like to be in a couple of years? I mean, do you have any plans for doing anything to get off the streets?
That I haven't think of yet, but I was thinking to put my poetry out there like that, or put it on Facebook, make it something to put it out on Facebook to let everybody see on Facebook, and let them know that never give up, because if you give up, you don't know if you could achieve your goals. Because how you gonna achieve your goals if you don't give up? Keep trying, even though if you fail, get back up and keep going. Whatever is in the past, whatever you've been through, it's not your fault. Just keep going. And that's all I gotta say.
You've been living on the streets for how long now?
Since I was 14. Till I'm 18 now.
Yeah. How do you think that those 4 years have affected you?
It affected me a lot, you know, but I'm staying strong the best that I can to order to let people know that I'm strong. I could conquer my goals and not think about the pain. Even though I could feel the pain, even though I could think about it here and there, try not to think about it best as I can.
All right, Gloria. Well, thank you for coming in and talking with me. Even though Soft White Underbelly consists of a lot of videos, it's really still a photography project to me. And if you appreciate the photography, sometimes it's difficult to enjoy it when it's scrolling down the screen, which is the only option I had in this horizontal format on YouTube. So last year we came out with the first Soft White Underbelly book, which is a collection of the best portraits from the thousands of interviews I've done. Each portrait in this book is accompanied by an interesting quote from the person's interview.
Oh my God.
There's more.
Wow. These aren't as bad as I thought. I look like a witch.
The book includes multi-page spreads of both Rebecca and the Whitaker family. I will not be reprinting this book when it sells out, so once it's gone for good. You can order yours at softwhiteunderbelly.org. $125, $150 for a signed copy. And thank you for watching.